Scriptures again, this time to John 15, 1 through 10. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Let us pray. O Father, whose love is revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, thank you for your word that helps us remain in him and he in us. We pray that you tend your garden here, your people, and continue to bring forth fruitfulness for your glory through your word on this day. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Business consultant who decided to hire a landscaper to redo his grounds, and he hired a woman with a doctoral degree in horticulture who was very knowledgeable and skilled in the field. Since he himself was really busy and traveled a lot, he told her that he wanted her to design something that would require as little maintenance as possible on his part, that she create it that way. So he insisted on having automatic sprinklers, other kinds of devices or equipment that might help with that. And in the process of all that, she finally stopped and said to him, "There's one thing you need to deal with before we go forward with this. If there's no gardener, there's no garden. A garden doesn't just happen, and neither does a vineyard. That too requires a gardener, a vine grower, and according to today's text from John, that's who God is. Our Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, this gardener doesn't rely completely on automation or maybe the latest AI technology to do all the work of tending this garden. According to our scripture, this gardener is very personally involved in the process of bringing forth fruitfulness, of cultivation. He's very hands-on. God, in other words, doesn't just sit on the back porch and look out at the vineyard, waiting and watching and hoping from a distance that everything goes okay and the vineyard will produce what it's supposed to produce. Instead, God gets in there, we're told. He enters the vineyard, starts pruning. He cuts and clears. He snips and snaps, shapes. He clips and cleanses. In other words, God does what's necessary in order for the vineyard to produce fruit. That's because nothing gives God more joy than to see fruitfulness from his vineyard. He loves to see it bear fruit. But we also learn that just as there has to be a proactive gardener, so there also has to be a vine. I am the true vine, says Jesus. Now, there's probably some Old Testament imagery behind Jesus' statement there. The vine was often used as a symbol of God's people. We get a sample of that earlier in our worship today from Isaiah. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. In other words, God's people living in love and righteousness is the fruit God intends, that God aims for, the fruit that God desires and expects. And this kind of fruitfulness is impossible apart from this love that binds God to His people. So Jesus takes this vineyard imagery and goes in a different direction with it. He says, yes, fruitfulness requires the gardener, vine grower in this case, as well as a vine, but it also requires something else. It requires branches connected to the vine. All three, gardener, vine, and branches, are essential if there's going to be fruitfulness. And Jesus describes their interrelatedness. He talks about it using the language of abiding or remaining. To abide means to be deeply at home, to be at home in and to dwell in this place or space that is God's love revealed in Jesus Christ the Son. Remain in me, says Jesus. In other words, abide in me and I will remain in you. I'll abide in you. So only by making ourselves at home in Jesus and having Him make Himself at home in us can we produce this kind of fruit called God's love. Otherwise, we become, as Jesus says, like branches. They just dry up, wither, and you just have to throw them on the fire to destroy them. So that's the picture we get so far in today's scripture passage. It all starts with a God who shares eternal life, His eternal life, with us through Jesus the Son. Jesus draws His life and His vitality from God and thereby becomes the source of life for us in our lives. So it's only by staying in relationship with Jesus that we can produce what God intends us to produce. Only by staying in relationship with Jesus can we have the spiritual power, the vitality that generates lives of love and righteousness that bring glory to God. And that happens through worship, through prayer, through the Word, through fellowship, sacrifice, service for God's reign. In all these ways, like we were emphasizing earlier with the children in Dora's message, coming to faith in Christ and staying in relationship with Christ, these are the ways that we stay in communion with our Lord and His love takes shape in us. It takes shape in us individually, but it also takes shape in us as a congregation. That's what it means to bear fruit, to do works of love that bring honor and praise to God and glory to the Father. Now, the Lord knows too, we learn in our scripture, God the gardener knows that this fruitfulness He intends, it's not instantaneous. Cultivating this vineyard called the church takes time and patience. There's a lady, an author named Margaret Feinberg, who talks about her experience of discovering that vintners have to adopt not a short-term but a long-term approach to their work. She says, the first year a vintner plants shoots of vines rather than seeds because these yield the strongest vines. At the end of the first growing season, he cuts them back. A second year passes, he cuts them back again. Only after the third year does he see his first viable clusters of grapes. Serious vintners leave those clusters on the vines. For most vintners, It's not until year four that they bring in the first harvest. 4 years. So what she does is she takes those insights and she applies them to her own life, her spiritual life. She says, sometimes I look at my life and wonder, why am I not more fruitful? Why does pruning have to hurt so much? Why does cultivating a healthy crop take so long? Yet those questions, she says, circle around me in the here and now because of a more short-term perspective on things. She says, God's perspective is much different. Like a good vineyard owner, he knows how to bring about fruitfulness better than I ever will. And he's patient with me, more patient than I am with myself. As we fulfill our callings, we must recognize that, like the vintners, our fruitfulness will not come, she says, overnight. The first harvest of our labors may not come for 3, 4, 5 years, maybe longer in our lives. God's fruit in us, or maybe fruit that we hope to see in others, or in the church, or wherever, that comes forth further down the road beyond what we may immediately want. So I think that, like you can hear in what she's saying there, bearing fruit, it's partly an individual matter. In other words, each disciple of Jesus staying in relationship with him, in communion with Jesus, yielding fruit. It's personal, but it's way more than just personal or individual. We see that in today's text. Remember that Jesus' words here, they come in the context of what's sometimes called his farewell discourse with his disciples. He's getting them ready for his impending departure, for that time when they will be without him physically present, the way that they become accustomed to him. So he has to get them ready for their life and mission after he has returned to the Father. It's a wonderful scene, really, because this is Jesus at his pastoral best, really, with these disciples, getting them ready for what's ahead. He begins with the assurance that he's going to prepare a place for them. You may remember that text, especially from funerals. He promises them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then after those things comes this imagery about the vine and the branches, the vineyard, which helps get them ready, really, for his absence by reminding them of how they're still connected to him and to each other, even though he's not there the same way that he was in those moments once he's returned to the Father. So at this point in the story, Jesus is all about relationship. How does this relationship with him get sustained and maintained once he's returned to the Father, which means that he'll abide with them, not only in each disciple's life and heart, yes, but especially in their life together as a community of disciples. That's where his presence will be located. Now, there's one commentator who's rightly pointed out that when we try to get a handle on a lot of this, we need to visualize what the branches of a vine actually look like. In a vine, she says, branches are almost completely indistinguishable from one another. It's impossible to determine where one branch stops and another branch starts when you're looking at it that way. All of them run together as they grow out of the central vine. And here, she says, is a reminder that in the life of the church, we're more than just freestanding individuals. We're not just each on our own, autonomous, doing our own thing. We're each really bound to each other because of our common connection to the one vine. That one vine, which means that in order to bear the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of love, we need each other for that to happen. It can't happen just on your own, by yourself, without Christ, without Christ's disciples, the community of believers. Our lives, as it turns out, are intertwined in this community of mutual indwelling remaining in one another, Christ remaining in us, our fruitfulness. When we talk about our fruitfulness, it's impossible where there's not interdependence on one another. So this is a very countercultural way of thinking and being and living, really. It goes against our society's relentless emphasis on individual autonomy. Personal self-sufficiency is what it's all about. By contrast, when you think about it, we in the life of the church are called to model a kind of fruitfulness where we desperately need Christ and each other and are intertwined with them. We in the church, I like to think of it this way, we in the church get our lives tangled up with one another, really, in the best sense of that word, so that God's fruit can come forth in us. This vineyard of intertwined branches called the church, the community of believers, is where the love of God and the life-giving power that raised Jesus from the dead, working in us, brings forth the kind of fruit of righteousness and love that brings glory to the Father. Part of what this means is that it's about more than just being a productive congregation. Now, it's true. It's important for every church, including ours, to get things done in the name of Christ. That is part of it. We want to grow our congregation and its capacity for ministry. We want to cultivate our giving, our generosity, and develop the church budget. We want to take care of the facilities we have and attend to necessary repairs or renovations or improvement on the inside as well as the outside. We want to build up our programs and our activities so that it serves us inwardly and helps us engage outwardly in the community. We want to do all these kinds of things because we want to be a productive fellowship of believers. I recall, just in a general sense, an article that I read years ago in a ministry magazine where the writer was emphasizing what he regarded as three essentials to a fruitful pastoral ministry, a healthy pastoral ministry. And these broadly fell under what he described as the three P's. One key was preaching. In other words, a pastor needs to be faithful in the ministry of the word, delivering a solid sermon on a regular basis. That's one P. Another key was people. The pastor needs to be able to develop deep, trusting relationships with the people, especially the leaders in the congregation. Second P. The third and final P was productivity. A pastor needs to be able to demonstrate that he, in partnership with the congregation, can get things done. So it's true. In the life of a church, there's a place for making progress, getting things done, being productive. We need those times and opportunities when we can step back and look and see, okay, that project is complete. That goal has been reached. That item can be checked off the list now. Those kinds of things need to happen. But I think, too, if we listen closely to today's text, the life of the community of disciples goes beyond just productivity into this deeper thing called fruitfulness. God, the gardener's primary mission, we're told, is to make his love in the Son known in the world, most of all in and through the life of his people, which means that the fruit of God's love being generated in the lives of believers whose works flow out of love and out of union with Christ. That puts us in a different kind of position, doesn't it? More of a passive kind of position. In other words, it becomes not primarily about what we can produce and accomplish for God. It becomes about what God can accomplish and produce in us and through us. It's about God's work in us. It's about fruitfulness, which starts in the heart of God works its way into us through Jesus the Son so that our lives yield something. Our lives are designed to yield something, the fruit of love and righteousness for God's praise and glory. There's a priest and writer named Henry Nouwen. He spent a lot of his ministry working and serving among people with special needs and disabilities. And he talks about how that shaped his own spirituality. He wrote, "I realize now how success-oriented I am. Living with men and women who cannot compete in the worlds of business, industry, sports, or academics, but for whom dressing, walking, speaking, eating, drinking, and playing are the main accomplishments. That's extremely frustrating for me," he says. He says, "I may have been committed theoretically to the insight that being is more important than doing. But when I actually look at my life and my attitude," he said, "sometimes I see that I'm far from realizing the truth of that insight. Some of us," he says, "might be productive and others not. But we are all called to bear fruit." Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, not just productivity or accomplishment or achievement on our own. Fruitfulness is a true quality of love. If we go back to our scripture today, we're the branches, not the vine. We're called by God in Christ to bear fruit, to be fruitful, not just to be productive. That's part of it. But most of all, and most deeply of all, to be fruitful. And so our risen Lord says, "Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. This is to my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for the way that you tend your vineyard called your people, your church. We know that we need to be pruned and shaped and cleansed and trimmed and whatever else you need to do because you desire fruitfulness. So we pray that you look upon us with mercy for those times that we become disconnected from Christ and the bond that we need to have with him. Keep us in him as he is in us, and bring forth the fruit of righteousness and love in each of our lives individually and in our life together as a congregation, so that the world will know your love in Jesus Christ the Son. We pray in his name. Amen. While we sing our hymn of commitment today, I'll be up here at the front to welcome anyone who wants to come.